the Geek News Central podcast for January 25th, 2005. Welcome, everybody, to the show. This is Todd, the geek from Geek News Central. And, of course, you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Wow, it's been an interesting weekend, an interesting start of a new week, and we're already into Tuesday. I don't know where time is just flying, and last week, I have to apologize up front. The show sucked. I did the show really, really late. It was like 11 o'clock at night on the Monday that we recorded it. Actually, the Thursday that we recorded it. And I should have just said, hey, folks, I'll give it to you another time and canceled. Had no right doing the show. But I told the wife, we're not going to let that happen again. So go downtown. Buy me a case of Red Bull, bring it home, and I will be guaranteed that the next show that I do will not have a tired host behind the mic. But I've been just putting in some extremely long hours, doing a lot of stuff here at the house. You got to see my office. My office, I run a clean ship, folks. I mean, I run a clean ship here in the office. I like stuff organized. But it looks like a tornado has hit this place. Now, for those of you that are out east, I know you've had plenty of time to clean your house because you're all snowed in. Or at least, I think you're all getting dug out now. But here in Hawaii, it's been wonderful. We've had great weather. So not to rub it in, but if you want to come on vacation, come on out. My wife is all concerned, though. She's getting ready to get on an airplane to go back to Japan. She's going to take our one-year-old with her and leave the two other siblings at the house with me. And she's going to go off for 4 to 6 weeks to visit family and take care of some things she needs to take care of over there. And we have some, she basically has to go back and take care of some paperwork and stuff for us. So she's going to go back and do that. And, of course, she is really never left the kids with me for an extended period of time. So the 8-year-old and 7-year-old, I've been getting them trained here the last couple of weeks. We've been kind of pretending that mom isn't home, and we've been doing everything like I would be if I was batching it, minus, you know, when she's here, I still have to clean the house. So when she leaves, I don't have to worry about the house so much, except for that 1 week prior to her arrival. Then you know how it is, fellas. Y'all race to get the house back in shape before they come home, so that the wrath of mom doesn't, or wrath of the wife doesn't come back and end up putting you in the doghouse for weeks on end. But it was, you know, it's been kind of fun, and the kids are getting used to it, getting into a routine. So that is that's good. Now, our voicemail line has not been getting very much use, so I'm going to put out, as we did around Christmas time, I'm going to put out a challenge here. Now, because I know a lot of you do not listen to the show until approximately, I know the majority of you get it within the first 3 days of it being on the air, but I'm going to put out a challenge a week from today. I'm going to announce the winner, and it's going to be completely subjective by me. So you call into the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. And leave a comment about the show on what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to see improve, what you want to see changed, what you'd like to hear more of, more or less of, etc., etc. And whoever gives me the best comment, best feedback, is going to get a nice, crisp $20 bill, and we'll send that to you via PayPal. Our last winner, out in Chicagoland. I don't know what he spent his money on, but I do know that he was quite happy to receive his winnings. So again, the voicemail line is 619-342-7365. Now, you can always Skype me at Geek News Central, one word, or drop me an email. Now, I want to go over my my Mac Mini experience. I posted a little bit on the website about it, and I know some of you that are my dedicated Windows listeners are going to just, some of you guys are hardcore Windows, and I know there's some of you out there that are hardcore Mac, and that's all good and well. So, but let me kind of give you some background on why I decided to purchase a Mac Mini. Last week, matter of fact, that same night I was pretty tired that we did the show on Thursday night for the Friday morning release. I was talking to the wife about the upcoming release of the Mac Mini on Saturday for, you know, they were going to make it available for sale. And I've been doing a lot of research and consulting, and I needed my perspective on some of the some Mac software that I needed to review. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, I got a lot of information. One of the items I was looking at was iPodder X. I wanted to do a look at that. I'd heard some things about it, and I wanted to confirm for myself whether it was true or not. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, most of my friends are Windows users. I do have the friends that are Mac users, so, that kind of sounds kind of bad, but I don't know. I guess it's kind of almost like the Windows crowd runs together and the Mac crowd runs together, but now I've got coworkers that have Macs, and so I hadn't even told them what I was going to do to give them a big surprise on Monday morning. But so we had decided to go ahead and get a Mac Mini, and it would serve the purpose that I wanted to. The price was right, and I haven't touched an Apple Mac product in 20 years, and I remember using them in high school. But that's about it. So anyway, make a long story short, I called the Apple store here in Hawaii on Friday afternoon. I said, hey, I want one of those. Can I reserve it? And they said, no way, no how. We've only got a limited number. You have to come down to the store. Better get here early. And I asked him, well, how early is early? And he said, well, I know there's people planning on camping out all night. So you be the judge of what time you should get here. We open at 8:30. So I got to got to thinking about it, and he wouldn't give me a total number that they had. So I decided, all right, I normally get up for work at about 5:30 in the morning. So I'll go ahead and wake up at 5:30, and I did, and I got a quick shower, jumped in the car, and by about 6:05, I guess 6:10, I was at the Apple store at the Ala Moana Shopping Center here in Honolulu, and sure enough, there was five people already there. So I kind of asked them, well, how many of you guys, who is the earliest? And one guy said he was, and he arrived at 2 a.m., and of course, they all had their iBooks and PowerBooks, and they were all, I arrived with my iPod and listened to podcast and while I was waiting, so they were talking about some stuff I'd never heard about before, so I listened intently, and of course, the conversation came around to me, and it was basically, I wasn't about to tell them that I was a first-time Apple buyer. I didn't want to fuel their, I just kept my mouth shut. Let's be honest, I was chicken. I didn't want to say what else. And I was like, hey, I'm here for the first time to buy Apple, you know. And so we talked about podcasting and some other general talk. And probably some of those guys I told them to check the site out and check the podcast out. So some of them are probably going to get a laugh when they hear this if they're listening to the show. But anyway, about 7:30, people really started to show up. And the guys had told me that morning that, yeah, they only got 20. They got 10 of the 1.2 gig machines, 10 of the 1.2s and 10 of the 1.4s. A couple of the guys in the line were there going to buy two. So I did the math. I said, yeah, no matter what, I'll end up with at least one. or you know, I'll end up with mine. I won't be the last person to get one. So, you know, and we didn't tell anybody else in line how many they got, trying to make sure that everything, we told them everybody get in line and line up nicely, and when the store opened at 8:30, it was kind of like this production, you know, they had the staff out there, and they were clapping as we were walking. I'm like, yeah, this is by a computer, you know, come on. And I got to thinking, does Apple do that on purpose, only have a limited number of an item to, you know, I just didn't understand why they only had 20. 20, that was pathetic. So I got in line, got the mini bought. I bought an EyeSight camera also. Didn't get any other software, anything like that. And I knew that 256 megs of RAM was not going to be enough. So I, by that time, the CompUSA was already open, and that was on the way home. So I stopped at CompUSA on the way home, and I got a, I wanted a gig stick, but they didn't have any. So I settled for a 512. And I was back, I was looking for a, I had to get some, because all my cables are a PS2 type, and the Mini takes a strictly USB or Firewire. I had to get some PS2 to USB, a dongle, basically, and I found one, and that happened to be back by the Apple corner, and I came around the corner, or the Apple section, and I came around the corner, and lo and behold, they got a Mac Mini sitting on the display shelf. So I asked the guy, I said, how many you got? He says, oh, we got a lot. I said, you got more than 20? He said, yeah. I said, how many people did you have here this morning to get minis? He said, I only had eight. I mean, one. One person was standing in line at eight. So I said, well, you know, you need to call the Apple store and tell him you got a stack of them over here. And he kind of giggled because I said, they're out. There's about 100 people over there that are pissed off. And he says, well, I guess they'll wander over here if they really want one. But I could have stayed in bed. I didn't need to go over there and stand in the line for the hype. But I guess I had fun. I had the fun, you know. I can say, yeah, I was there for a product rollout or whatever. But I got home, and I had all intention purposes of sticking this thing underneath the desk with the rest of the servers. But it just didn't kind of fit right down there. And I had to move a bunch of stuff. And so I stuck it on the desk, in the corner of the desk, and I run the cables over to it, pretty unobtrusive. But, folks, if you haven't seen this thing, you see it on their website, but if you haven't seen this thing, it is small. It is, I mean, it is small. You take an iPod, you take four iPods and put them together, that's about the size of it, square, and you stack like 2.5 iPods on top of each other. And that's the height. I mean, this thing is tiny. I just couldn't believe it. So I got it home. I'd already looked on the website on how to open the case up. And I opened the case up and pulled the 256 stick out, put 512 in, plugged it in, ran it up, did some playing around with it, not too long, and downloaded some software I needed to check out. And I did that. And, hey, you iPod or X guys, yeah, oh, man, you guys are missing the train. iPod or X is definitely, sucks compared to Doppler and some of the other Windows products out there. The Windows gang has got the Mac podcasting podcatcher developers beat hands down. It is just there is such a night and day difference between the applications. I know that iPod or 2.0 is coming out for both the Windows version and the Mac, but wow, what a disappointment the iPod or X version was. So you guys got some, the Mac developers, you guys better get busy, because the Windows crowd, I tell you, they're stomping your butt. It's, you know, there's no comparison. But, hey, you know, that was kind of my mini experience, and sits here on the desk, and probably when I get done with it, I'll use it for something downstairs, probably in my media center or something like that, but got to figure out how to be able to control this thing remotely from a Windows machine. So if anybody's got a clue on how to do that, let me know. Also, you know, I'm used to downloading files to a Windows machine and it coming either zip or an executable, and those files going into a directory where I know they're going to go, and I execute them to install them, and, you know, it gets dumped to program files or whatever the program's going to default install to. With Apple, you can't tell, man. You just the you download a program and the installer starts immediately, and you have no idea where this thing is sticking the data from the install. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. So I made some changes to the browser, so at least I knew where the downloads were going to get stashed. But I have no idea where these install programs are sticking files. So someone point me to something I can use to figure out what OS X does during its install, because I'm a control freak when it comes to my files in my computer. And from what I've seen so far, Apple does not lend itself to be that. Now, I know I'm rambling on here. We're 15 minutes and I haven't even started the news, but I did want to talk a little bit. Excuse me here, I'm going to take a drink of water. I did want to talk a little bit about some of the podcasts that I have been listening to, some of the tech podcasts. And I hope you guys go out and check these shows out. I've kind of been lacking in talking about other people's shows. But Kevin Devin, over at kevindevin.com, he does a In the Trenches Tech Chat, a really good podcast. And he's building a great brand over there. And they're doing quite a few podcasts a week. So go over there and check out his site and get subscribed and let Kevin know that I sent you over there. Another guy that I really like listening to is the Chuck Chat podcast. And hey, he's got a great show and does it from a variety of venues. So there's another one that I'm recommending. Now, Michael Lehman's podcast from Softwareland. Hey, I like Michael. Matter of fact, he is doing the development right now to put together the initial skin for the techpodcast.com website that is going to be launching here very soon. I know that I talked about that a little bit before, but that's kind of gaining a little momentum. It's been stop and go, but we're going to get the site up and then worry about all the other stuff as we go and build as we come. But Michael's working that angle for us. He works at Microsoft. Unfortunately, because of his job, he can't do any coding for us. I wish he could, but he can't because of Microsoft's policy for their employees on doing programming projects outside of the company. But he can help us with the website, and that's what he's going to be doing on a non-programming type basis. Now, Steve Holden, I think I've talked about Steve before. Steve does a great show. Sometimes he does it driving to work. Sometimes he does it from his house. He's also testing a very cool tool. It's called Mixcast. And I think if this product that he's beta testing is going to turn out the way I think it is, it's probably going to want to be one of the hottest Windows tools for podcasters this year. But yeah, he's got a great, great podcast. Check it out. Now, since I am technically now a Mac user, gag. I'm sorry. Oh boy, I know I'm going to take so much shit for this. I'm going to start listening on The Point. This guy does a great podcast, and he talks about Mac stuff. So I'm going to try to be a little open minded and learn a little bit about Mac since I've got this thing. I am not a switcher. I'm not a jump over. I'm still a dedicated Windows user, but I figure in this day and age, you've got to keep your options open and look at both sides of the fence and not walk around with your eyes closed. Whew, 20 minutes, and we aren't even to show content. This show may run long, folks. The hell with the people that only want a short show. It's probably going to be a long one today, and that's the way it's just going to be. And I do appreciate all the emails of support. People sent me, I think I got about 100 emails saying, hey, the show can be as fine in its current length, or it can be longer. I don't know if I want to go longer. I don't know if I can support the bandwidth by going to a longer show. So I'm going to try to cover the material a little more thoroughly than I have been. But some of the posts speak for themselves, and that goes along with the initial post here. Podcast Review is a Yahoo mailing list that they sample a couple of podcasts every week, review them, make comments about them. They did our show last week. So I'm going to have the link up to that mailing list. Make sure you check that out. If you're listening to a variety of podcasts, it may give you some exposure to some new ones. And you'll be able to get some feedback to podcasters on what they're doing. Firefox 1.0 hit the magic 20 million download point. And they've had a graph on the website that shows the continued steady download of that program. It hasn't dropped off, and they are actually showing where they are gaining market share. So congratulations to the Firefox team, Firefox Mozilla team, for 20 million downloads. Think about that, folks, 20 million. Okay, I wouldn't consider myself to be a environmentalist. I'm not that type. I'm not a hug-your-tree type person. Grew up in the Midwest in Michigan. Grew up in a small farming community. My grandfather has a 1,000-acre cash crop farm. And God bless his soul, he taught me how to hunt when I was a young boy. And so, you know, I did a lot of those country type things before I moved on and become a techie and did all the stuff they do. But I am concerned. I think as everyone else should be. And there's a new article out, and I don't know, you know, if it's, you know, I hate these doom and gloom type articles, but it talks about climate change and how that CO2 levels are rising, and they're considering that in the within the next 10 years we're going to hit a critical point. Take it for what it's worth. Looks like it's a pretty good study. I don't know. It's something that we're going to have to grapple with, and I don't think with nations like China, who are growing fast and are going to, problem's going to go away anytime soon. I think CO2 is going to continue to climb. I think we're going to lose more of the rainforest. I don't think you can stop it. I really don't. No matter how much you tell people to be conservative, they won't. It just doesn't happen. So check that out and see what you think. Going into some computer news, Movable Type has released version 3.15, and they've fixing a vulnerability in the mail sending package for all Movable Type versions. So apparently they found something out there that can allow a malicious user to send email through the application to any number of arbitrary users. Ooh. I am going to have to definitely check the logs on my server. Make sure that, because I've been having some email issues over the last week. So I just wonder if we weren't affected by this. So anyway, yeah, Movable Type users, get out there, get that patch, get it installed immediately. Okay, I made a write-up on Sunday about a Silicon Valley 100. This elite 100 individuals are getting products sent to them to review and write about. It is kind of funny. I heard today the first product that they got to review was a toilet seat that washed and blow-dried you, I guess. And so, you know, I guess they aren't all real cool tech tools. But, hey, these 100 people are getting this stuff free. They get to keep it. I'm sure there's some tax liability there. I don't know if gifting is considered as taxable or not. But anyway, it irritates me that they're giving them to these 100 influential people. You know, hey, they can afford this stuff. You know, let's spread the wealth. Let's go out and find some mainstream people who are down in the trenches and working, who live tech for a living and are not spoiled. I hate to say it, but I think some of these people might be. I can't, not all. There's a few people on that list that I respect. But I don't know. You read my article. See if you agree with me or not. It was on the 23rd. I'll link to it on the site, of course, tonight. And check it out. Check it out. Okay. There's this blogger business summit going on in Seattle, and Robert Scoble did a pretty good presentation today, and he has some a weblogger suggestions. You know, to be a good web blogger, you have to read other blogs a lot. You have to link. You have to link to your competitors. You have to realize that blogging is a payoff, even if it isn't sales. Now, this is for the business people. So, you know, you have to be able to reach out to your audience. So, I agree with all those comments. But also, he goes over some fears that companies have about blogging. That they're afraid that they're going to make their company look stupid. That people are going to say something about them, or they're going to say bad things, or no one's going to look at their site. Oh, poor babies. Or that they're saying more than they should. And also that things that they say could come back to bite me. Now, I know that some companies who are on the stock market have to be very careful about what they say, and it has to go through, probably most of the stuff they say have to go through legal. But it doesn't mean that you can't cut your employees loose to talk a little bit, and as long as you come up with a good policy. But, you know, businesses that are not blogging, you know, you're behind the time, folks. It's a hardcore fact. So, great information on this conference. There was a number of A-list bloggers that were there. And I think you could glean a lot of information for those of you that are web bloggers out there by going through and reading some of these reviews. Robert Scoble has a lot of links to what people are saying in his link blog. Check that out. That is one of my best resources. Matter of fact, I probably find 5 items for every one of these shows on his link blog. So make sure you're reading that every day if you're not adding that to your read list. Now, on the science frontier, the probe that went down to Titan provided a lot of detailed information. But here's something that I just discovered today that I couldn't believe it. This thing had 2 Cassini space probe, which was out there sucking in the data that a probe was sending out from the Huygens, was not received. Part of it was not received because they forgot to turn one of the receivers on. Can you believe this? Okay, here you are. You're gonna launch a probe to the surface of another planet. You have spent millions and millions and millions of dollars, and you don't have a checklist. I can see it now. Okay, launch probe. All right, launch probe. Wait 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it took. All right, 1 hour prior to entry. Cassini, what do we have to do? Turn on receiver A and turn on receiver B. Why? The probe has 2 transmitters and sending back 2 different streams of data. Is that important? Can you believe these knuckleheads? They're playing it down, but humans are just prone to make mistakes. And this is just shocking. Simply shocking. But they got some of the data, but I guess half the pictures this thing took and temperature and wind readings and all that stuff got missed. So, you know, flush that information. You know, that's gone forever. I'm not being sarcastic, am I? Along with that, I guess I can stay in this sarcastic state. You know, all these companies are worried about us stealing media, music media, video media. So, you know, at current count, this article says there's, it's a BBC article, says there's 232 services out there that are selling music. And every one of them invariably has a little different digital rights management system. You know, you look at Apple iTunes, they're a perfect example that basically it's hard to transfer data from Windows or Apple iTunes to different devices besides iPod. You know, people are getting locked in. And so there's some format wars brewing, and users are becoming confused. They don't understand. They're paying for stuff twice, 3 times, 4 times for same content. You know, there's locks and limits on digital files, and I think people are starting to getting pissed off. And there's a quote in here that studios and labels perceive an opportunity to sell your media again and again. The iPod version, the auto version, the American UK version, the ringtone version, and so on and so forth. You know, that's true. You know, I got this Boston Live 8-track tape that I bought back in the day. Well, I bought a cassette when 8-tracks went out. Loved the album so much, bought a CD. Oh, the CD got damaged. So I went out online and bought the tracks to that Boston Live album. And guess what? 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5 times I paid for that music. Hello? Is that a criminal or what? And you pay for it once, you should only have to ever pay for it once. You know, that was, you know, the 8-track, the cassette, and the CD days. That was because I was, I didn't know enough, and the computers weren't advanced enough to know that I could rip this stuff, put it to MP3. Remember, storage space was at a premium 10 years ago. I remember my first 1.6 gig extended IDE drive, EIDE, that I bought cost me $1,100. You know, now 1.6 gigs, you can almost get that on a stick, you know, for what, $50? And you compare that to hard drives. Hard drives are even cheaper. You can buy a 400 gig hard drive now. I think I saw a sale the other day for $169 or something like that. So we've come a long way, guys and gals. But I'm sick and tired of paying for media 2 or 3 times. And I'll be honest with you, I will never pay for it again. If I have a buddy that's got it, I'll sneaker net it. You know, if I don't P2P it, which I won't. But I got the CD to prove that I own it. It may have a crack in it, but I paid for the content. I'm not paying for it again. And that's what these companies want, you know. Make our own ringtones. Upload them ourselves. Why pay $1.95 for a ringtone? Come on, folks. Let's get a clue. Let's empower ourselves. Let's take back what we've already paid for, you know. Now, I've always said I don't condone outright stealing. So, you know, you can take that for what it's worth. Every one of you has your own values to live by, but that's mine. I don't go out and I pay for what I use. And, you know, back there was a number of years ago that I may have been inclined to not pay for some software, but every piece of software that I have on my computers today has a registered license number to go with it. And I just allocate it as part of my budget. I know I'm going to spend X number of dollars a year on software. I've still got my boycott against Apple iTunes. I'm not buying any more tracks from them because of their lawsuits against these sites that reporting news. But enough on that. Okay, my dad was talking to me, I guess it was yesterday, and they're out here visiting in Hawaii. My mom and dad are out. They come out every year for a couple of months, and God bless my loving when they come out. We have a great time. But they had a CRT, a regular TV, blow up earlier in the year, and really didn't consult with me too much, and had went downtown and gotten a fancy schmazzy salesman that seemed to know what he was talking about over HD TV, and they ended up with a flat screen HD TV that was okay, but they could have got a little more bang for their buck. But there's a lot of content right now talking about the missing content from HD TV and how it's not living up to the hype that it was supposed to, and you know, just the amount of content and the broadcasting companies are having a hard time you know, procuring equipment and that will produce this information, or produce this, you know, HDTV format in the quality that it deserves. But for those of you that don't have a very big found standing or found understanding of HDTV, should read this Business Week article. I'm not buying an HDTV yet. I'm waiting, and I'm going to wait a couple more years, maybe 3 more years, maybe 5 more years. I don't know. But I'm not buying one now. I'm sticking with my old CRT set. When it blows up, then I'll think about it. But if you're out there, and I'm noticing, you know, tax time is upon us. People are getting refund checks. And boy, does CompUSA and Circuit City and all those companies know it. I'm seeing the advertisements. And the first 4 pages of the Circuit City flyer this week was nothing but TVs. So don't tell me they're not trying to sell you guys. Get it in your brain that you need a new TV. It's coming, you know, and they're trying to push it down our throats. But hey, the content isn't quite there. I went over today to check out what was going on at the 2005 Bloggies Award, but I got to their site. I got a message that says, bandwidth limit exceeded. Oh, wow. What a way to run a contest. Bandwidth limit exceed. Let me do a refresh. Let's see if it does, if it refreshes. Nope, still down. It's 8:37 p.m. Honolulu Standard Time. Let's see here. Let's add 3 hours on for West Coast. It's 11:37. Let's see if it comes back up at midnight. But, wow. You don't want that. That's a kiss of death. You never want that to happen. Okay, what else do I have? A little more stuff on Extreme Tech about the Mac Mini and some comparisons. I know I've already talked about my experience, but I haven't talked about some of the benchmarks that have been done out there. Now, hey, I love those $399 or $499 deals for PCs. You know, you get a computer, keyboard, mouse, couple of speakers, maybe a cheesy monitor. It's basically one of those starter systems that you might give to your kids or something like that. They did some comparisons, some benchmark comparisons, and they're almost dead even. So I knew that this Mini wasn't going to be a performance king. You can only get so much performance out of one onboard processor that is basically, you know, in a case at 6x6 along with a CD and RAM. You know, you're not going to get super speed out of this thing, but it does okay. I can believe it or not, it did okay for its size. But there's a great article on comparison on speed, and it looks like Walmart's going to get in the game. They're going to buy a bunch of these things. And they're trying to get, actually, believe this or not, they're going to go after a sub-$200 Walmart PC. $200. Think about it. I go down and buy five, and I can stick one in the kitchen. I can stick, that's cool. That is really cool. So let's see what happens there. This may put a little crimp in the hope of the Mac or Apple to sell a lot of these, but Walmart's going to have the Mac Minis for sale in store, which is going to be, I guess that's a first. Okay, the Gamer Circle has the inside scoop on the next iPod. Apparently, Gen 5 is going to have an 80 gig hard drive. And it's going to, the motif of it's going to change a little bit to look more like a standard Mac case. A little styling change. The iPod Mini is also going to getting some new colors. It's going to get a bump to 5 gigs. So, that's about all we're seeing on that. I'd like to hear what they're going to do on the software front. Hey, Apple, you need to make your Apple iPod more podcast friendly. Now, how many of you have went to a high-end retail store and wanted to and purchased something, and you know they tried to send you an extended warranty or whatever? I think we covered this before, but there's a recap on WinXP News about some comments were made back about reading the fine print of those contracts, of those extended contracts or extended warranty contracts. So I want to get that out there real quick to go to that WinXP site and read that article. We're not going to talk about that. We're at 38 minutes. We're going to skip that one. Sorry about that. I'm skipping content here. I do want to keep the show time down as much as possible. I hate to go over 45 minutes. But I do want to go into a web hosting company are getting smart with the takedowns of the BitTorrent tracker sites. And those of you that aren't aware, basically the MPAA, RIAA went after the tracker sites and had them, injunctions put against them and had them removed. But hosting companies are getting in the game, and one in particular in the Bay Area is going to have a directory where people can dump files into and it will automatically create the torrent. Bravo, 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 bravo. I think that's great. You know, we've had some problems with the torrent feed that we've been offering on our podcast, and you may not even see it this show. It probably will not come as a surprise because you guys have already downloaded it because we're trying to get this torrent thing figured out. It's not being utilized. I've made some comments on it. To give you an example, the number of people downloading the torrent were less than 1%, or no, 10% of 1% of you. So, anyway, that's it. Wired has some articles about how the Mac Mini is going to be used in business. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And I tell you what, and the reason this Mac Mini is getting so much press, and the reason I'm talking about it so much, is it's small. It's tiny, 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 tiny. And it works out perfect for people that have, rack space and cages, and they want to put, instead of putting 10 machines, they can put 100 of these Mac Minis in the place of, regular PCs. Okay, what else? I'm not going to talk about that one. Basically, be careful about what you say on the telephone networks. There's a lot of information about hackers are getting in there and listening and capturing passwords and information. So if you're sending that stuff over open email, if you're sending critical passwords and any of that type of information, you are going to want to make sure that you encrypt that. I use pretty good privacy, PGP. And whenever I have to send something important to someone that I don't want to absolutely not to be overseen. So if you haven't checked out PGP, you need to check that out. If you're a Windows or a Mac user, there's a version for both. And secure that stuff that you're sending over the phone and data networks. And don't talk about passwords over an open phone line. You know, that's just asking for trouble. Okay, science news again. The two astronauts aboard the International Space Station on Wednesday are going to make their first spacewalk since arriving 3 months ago. They're going to go out and install some equipment, do an inspection on the spacecraft. They're all ramped up and ready to go. It's going to be covered by NASA TV, so go over to the NASA site and check out the scheduling for that. I definitely am going to tune in myself. But all's well up on the International Space Station. Folks, 41 minutes, 50 seconds, and I am through the information. And let me look over the show notes real quick here. Okay, like usual, get in on that contest for best suggestion for us here on the podcast, the best suggestion deemed by myself, and I'll probably play a wide variety of those on the next show. Gets a $20 bill. I'll announce the winner of that next week. And you can do that at 619-342-7365. As usual, you can visit the website at www.geeknewscentral.com. Forgot to announce that at the beginning of the show. I know some of you, know there's some comments that people wanted the website URL before we got started, but I kind of thought everybody already knew it because you had subscribed to it, but I guess not. So we'll start talking about that at the beginning of the show. You can send me an email at geek@geeknewscentral.com. And we want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. I definitely am a lot more awake, and I promise you, if I am exhausted like I was last Thursday, we will not do a show. I'll just put up an announcement and say, hey, tune in next time. You're just going to have to deal without getting the information. And otherwise, I may leave you with a tune, and if I do, I'll put that tune up on the website. All depends on if I can find something short. But for now, I'm Todd with Geek News Central signing off. Okay, we're going to end this with Monday Morning by Vanity. Feeling low again, insignificant. My thoughts and fears overcome my mind. I find that there's no easy way to run from everything that's haunting me. I'm looking in the mirror for a smile. Nothing is returned, no matter how hard I try. Will this be the last time I look in the mirror at all? Will I say goodbye? There's nothing that I build for myself, and why I let it fall.
upon. Again, again, in the mirror for a smile, nothing is returned, no matter how hard I try. Could this be the last time I look for you?
See you all next Tuesday, and have a good day, folks. Adios.